Good morning, Grace Bible Church family, and happy Mother's Day as we celebrate our mothers today. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, if she's watching this, and of course my wife, mother of my children, happy Mother's Day. And to all of those in our Grace Bible Church family, happy Mother's Day. And hopefully, even though we're kind of confined to our homes, your family has found a way to spoil you today on Mother's Day. So we praise the Lord for you and everything that you do and your love and sacrifice that you've done, not only for us husbands, our children, but maybe for us as well, our mothers showering us with love and instruction in our lives. So we thank you today, mothers. And just a couple of side notes here as we continue in to our service this morning. Hopefully the special has been a blessing to you this morning. And please continue to pray for wisdom for us in that area. The scripture reading it will be at the bottom of your screen for the month for those that have been keeping up with the scripture reading. If you fell behind, let me encourage you to maybe jump right in to the scripture reading that you're seeing at the bottom of your screen, and then maybe just kind of make a little note that you skipped maybe some portions. Keep on through, and then maybe, you know, read that at the back end of your reading. So you'll see that at the bottom of the screen. Hopefully it's been a blessing. We've heard so many good things about those that have been studying. We've got many questions, and so it's been really good to see people really diving into the Word of God during this time. And so let me encourage you to stay with that that reading. As you may have remembered from last week, I announced this last week, that at this point our services and ministries are closed or canceled here and through the most of the month of May, basically December 22nd at this point. If we have any new decisions made for that, we will definitely let you know as soon as possible. But at this point, May 22nd is where we have our cancellations. And also wanted to thank those that have either been mailing in their tithes and offerings and those that have been dropping them by the church. We have definitely been receiving those, getting those, added to our budget, and it's been a blessing. We're doing very well, so I want to thank you for that, and I pray you continue to pray about how you can serve the Lord or pay back the Lord in that way. So as we can get into our sermon here, we're going to talk about a mother's heart. A mother's heart. And our text this morning will be Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 through 21. Genesis chapter 21, starting in verse 14. It says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called out to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him out of the land, a wife out of the land of Egypt." So let's stop for a moment and pray as we get into our Mother's Day sermon this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you again for our time here today. Lord, we thank you for mothers. And today, Lord, we celebrate mothers. But I pray that ultimately we would glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will have your hand upon mothers today. Bring them encouragement and love. I pray that they would receive that from their family. But I also pray that they would receive that from you, Lord. That you would give them the encouragement and love that they need, even during this difficult time where many mothers can't see their children or grandchildren. And so, Lord, I pray that you bring encouragement where it is needed. I pray that you'd be with me this morning as I preach your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd be glorified by everything that is said behind this pulpit today. And we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, a mother's heart. As we celebrate mothers today, I think the one thing that I find to be so special about mothers is their heart. You know, when you think about love, you know, not many things are more pure than the love that a mother has for her child. You know, I understand that's not necessarily always true with all mothers, but I believe for that dedicated mother, I think you will find a very hard time, you'll have a very hard time finding a love that is more sacrificial, a love that is more forgiving, a love that is more unconditional, a love that is more pure. I found this poem, hopefully it'll be a blessing to you mothers this morning, talking about a mother's love. There is no love like a mother's. Her heart is filled with care. With Christ as her example, her Savior's love she'll share. A mother's love is endless, not changing for all time. When needed by her children, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all their tears and heartaches and special work they've done. When days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on. Through many generations, God's blessing on each one. Be thankful for our mothers who love with a higher love, the power God has given and strength from above. Again, you will have a hard time, I think, finding a love that is more pure, more genuine than a mother's love. And so we will see here that that is true about a mother that we're going to look in the Word of God. Hagar, who was the mother of Ishmael, the mother of Abraham's first son. And I think you look at this particular portion of Scripture, I don't think many Mother's Day sermons are probably preached on Hagar. But I think we'll find that we'll learn a lot about this Egyptian woman, this mother who truly had a mother's heart, who shed tears for her son, who cried out to God for her son. And I think we will be able to glean, whether you're a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather, I think we'll be able to glean a lot from this story of Hagar, this Egyptian woman and the mother of Abraham's first son. Now you might be saying here, if you're not familiar with this text, you might be saying, well, what's going on here? Why is Abraham sending away Hagar and Ishmael? Well, the story kind of starts in Genesis chapter 15, when God promises Abraham a son and an heir. Now, of course, in Genesis chapter 15, at this point, he is still Abram. He has not received this new name by God, Abraham, when he received the Abrahamic covenant. But even at this point in chapter 15, it is believed that that Abraham and Sarah were in their 70s. Now, to some, that might seem a little old to have a baby. Of course, a little sarcasm there. I'm sure to most, the 70s would be a very hard time to have a baby in that portion of our lives. And so we see here that it's still a stretch of faith for them to receive this promise from God, even in this older part of their life, to think that God would be able to fulfill such a promise. But because of this lack of faith that we will see as we look at Sarah, because of this lack of faith, we see a very poor decision is made. And what we see here is a perfect picture of what happens. What happens when we move ahead of God? What happens when we don't seek the Lord's face? What happens when we don't seek the Lord in prayer about different choices and decisions in life? You know, what happens when we don't seek the Lord in all these decisions? You know, seek the Lord in His perfect will. How many decisions are made due to a lack of faith. How many decisions are made in our own strength and our own knowledge without seeking the Lord? And I think we'll see that more times than not, when that is done, when we try to make decisions we're not seeking the Lord about those decisions. What His perfect will is, we see that there's many poor decisions made. And unfortunately, many of those poor decisions have life-changing consequences or life-affecting consequences. And you might be here this morning and say, well, how many times? I bet you you probably can think of many times. And you say, yep, I can remember all these different times where I made a decision without seeking the Lord, and it turned out to be bad. We see this here with Sarah. She made a decision that really was a bad decision. Now, we know that this woman and this servant, looking at their lives, I believe that Sarah and Hagar probably had a good relationship that was now strained, as we saw in verses 4 and 5. You know, in Genesis chapter 16, if you want to turn there, we can really see where this relationship became strained because of this poor decision. Genesis chapter 16, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid, I pray, that it may be that I obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah's, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur, and said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be not but be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." So we can see here, I truly believe that at one point they probably had a very good relationship. Why do I say that? Because she recommended Hagar. She thought of Hagar to be the one woman that would bring Abraham a son. So I think at one point they had a good relationship. But we see there in that text that relationship became very strained because of this poor decision. And that's why it's so vital that we, whether it's our relationships or decisions about a job or whatever, that we take those decisions to the Lord in prayer. Because if we don't try to seek that confirmation from the Lord in what we should be doing, what choices we should be making, we're going to find ourselves in a very difficult situation in some of the decisions we'll make that are outside of the will of God. I think there's some important, maybe some questions that we ask when we are seeking the will of God. First, is this decision in alignment with the Word of God? Is it in alignment with the Word of God? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit's voice? Are we listening to the voice of truth? Are we listening to those that may be giving us supposedly godly advice? And we asking the Lord, is this good advice? Is this advice that's coming from the Word of God? Is this advice that's coming from the Holy Spirit? We also need to be seeking a peace from God after we spend that time in prayer. Do I have a peace about the decision that I'm making, that it's God's will? Much of our decisions in life we should be making after seeking the Lord in prayer. And we see that Sarah did not do this, and because of this, she now has a huge mess on her hands. But even after she's created this huge mess by doubting the Lord, we see that she still doubts in Genesis chapter 18. So if you'd like to flip over maybe a page, Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 9, it says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." Again, they're late in life. "And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman." And that belief, at that time, she was not even able to reproduce. So verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." Talking about Abraham is also old in age. And she laughed. So we still see her struggle with doubt about this promise that God had made to both her and Abraham. Now, what we see here is because of their old age, she puts limits on God. But we see the response here in verse 13. It says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which I am old?" And the question here, verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Important question / statement. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. The answer is no. You know, Jesus in Matthew 19:26, when speaking to his disciples, said, "With man, this is possible, but with God, all things are possible." And of course, this statement occurred after he was giving some instruction to his disciples about the impossibility of man to be able to receive salvation apart from God's amazing grace. And so the question I would like to ask ourselves at this point is, in what ways are we limiting God in our lives? Mothers, you know, when it comes to that son or daughter, are we limiting God when it comes to their physical health? Are we limiting God when it comes to their emotional or maybe spiritual health? Where are we limiting God? You know, what about those damaged relationships maybe with our children? Are we limiting God that He can restore those relationships and reconcile those relationships in our lives? For those that aren't a mother, maybe you're a father or grandfather. Maybe you don't have any children at all. In what ways are we limiting our Lord? When you think about this crisis that we're going through, are we limiting God? Because we have to believe that God is in control of all of this. He's in control of the timing of this pandemic. And He's in control of how long it goes on and who it affects. God's in control of it all. And so we have to trust that. But in trusting that, are we saying, "God, I'm going to limit you because I don't believe what you're going to be able to do"? Or are we saying, "God, what are you trying to show me through this? What are you trying to reveal to me?" And that may be individually. He may be wanting to reveal something individually during this time to us. Maybe He wants us to seek Him more in prayer or trust Him more. Maybe He wants us to spend more time in our prayer closet or more time studying the Word of God. Maybe He's trying to develop our faith. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Of course, keep your finger on our text there. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But that patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Maybe the Lord is trying to develop our faith. He's trying to help us realize the importance of being patient for His perfect timing. And then while we are being patient, while we are seeking Him, He is developing our faith, developing our trust. to Him. And I think the one thing that I found to be true about faith is faith will only be tested, faith will only be developed during times of difficulty. Your faith is not going to be tried or tested, or we're even going to see where we are in our faith when things are all great. It's during those times of difficulty in life that our faith will be tested and our faith will ultimately be developed. Maybe He's trying to show our country something. This country has turned its back on God for many, many years. It's gotten worse over probably the last 10. Our government tries to turn their back on the Lord. Maybe the Lord is trying to show our government something. Maybe He's trying to get our attention. Well, hopefully He's gotten our attention to this point. You know, maybe He's trying to get the attention to a world that's rejected Him. You know, this may be a time of humbling. And the one thing that's interesting about being humbled is that often when we are humbled, it brings us back into the right perspective. It helps us have the right perspective. And I had a friend that I talked to this week who talked about conviction. And he said, you know, conviction will do one of two things. It will either bring us to anger or it will bring us to our knees. Now, something else I wanted to read, and I read this about a month ago, and I thought it was good to try to read this again. It says, no movies, no concerts, no sporting events, no restaurants, no social gatherings, limited workload. Now that I have cleared your schedule, can we talk now? God. And again, that's from Kelly's Treehouse. You know, maybe during this time, God's trying to slow us down so he can talk to us. So that He can reveal these things in our lives that He really wants us to really get settled. Maybe settled with Him. And so we have to remember here that with God, all things are possible. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Someone had sent something out in an email that I saw in our prayer chain, and he said, God's got this. God's got this. And I think they're 100% right. God's got this. So with all things, we have to trust Him. All things are possible. And we see here that Sarah lost hope. Sarah lost faith, and she made a poor decision that affected the lives of others. It affected Abraham's life. It affected Hagar's life. It affected Ishmael's life. It affected others' lives because of this lack of faith, this lack of hope, and this poor decision. So that brings us to our text here where we see that this Egyptian handmaid, Hagar, really has a mother's heart. A mother's heart. First, we see a mother's love. Now, if you want to turn to our text in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21 and verses 14 through 16, we see a mother's love. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. We really see Hagar's love for her son causes her to weep. Now, if we want to go to the beginning of the chapter 21 there, we see that God fulfills His promise with Abraham. We see the beginning of God fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant. And He also fulfills His promise to Sarah, and He gives them a son. And of course, we know that son is Isaac. And so in their old age, Abraham around 100 years old, and of course, Sarah in her 90s, they have this son, Isaac. Now I'm 51 years old, and I have two 13-year-old boys, and I often wonder how I'm going to do it. I try to eat right and stay in shape to keep up with these two young lads. So the thought of being 100 years old and having a child seems overwhelming to me, almost makes me shiver. But we see here that this poor decision by Sarah, again, rears its ugly head in verses 8 through 13. We're still in Genesis chapter 21. And if you want to go to verse 8, it says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice. Listen to Sarah, for Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman. This is another promise that God now makes for Ishmael. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. You know, Abraham's covenant, in this Abrahamic covenant, we see that Abraham would be the father of Israel, but we also see that he will be the father of the Arab nations, with Hagar being the mother. And so at the request of his wife Sarah, Abraham is set to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. And it's a decision that brought much heartache to Abraham, and that's understandable. He doesn't want to send away, you know, his son. He loves his son. But God gives him some encouragement there in verses 10 and 11. Again in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. We see that it really grieved his heart, but we also see that God brought relief to Abraham as he exposes his divine will for Ishmael. Verses 12 and 13. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. You know, isn't that like God to clean up our messes, to clean up our mistakes? But the interesting thing here about this response from God, it almost doesn't seem right, does it? It almost doesn't seem right. Like, why would God be okay with him exiling Hagar and Ishmael? Why would God be okay with this? But what we see here, what God is doing is he's removing the flesh. He's removing the son that was created in the flesh. He's removing the consequence of this fleshly decision made by Sarah. And we know that it's a fleshly decision because nowhere in the Word of God do we see that Sarah sought the Lord about the choices that she had been making. And we can see here through the Word of God that there's no communion with flesh and the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 25. There can be no communion with the flesh and the Spirit. Verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit cannot commune with one another. And so Ishmael was the consequence, was the result of this fleshly decision made by Sarah. And they had Hagar and Ishmael had to be removed to produce harmony. Now, a perfect example of that, Tanya, which you just witnessed playing our piano there for our special, Tanya Smith, she's a quite accomplished pianist. Pastor Spencer, our youth pastor, is also an accomplished pianist. And so if they were playing together, they'd have perfect harmony. And if I jumped in, someone who can't play chopsticks, there would be no harmony in what we were producing. So I would have to be removed. Pastor Spencer would probably have to chuck me off the bench for them to produce good harmony in what they were doing together. So we see here that Hagar and Ishmael, they had to be removed. They had to be removed, but this did not come without reassurance to Abraham. Now, this response that the Lord brings to Abraham brings him peace, but Hagar didn't get the memo. She didn't get to hear what he was promising. Verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Sorry, I'm in the wrong text here. Let me get back to Genesis chapter 1. That wasn't right. Genesis chapter 21, in verse 14. It says, "And Abraham rose up at early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Well, she wandered, going to the Hebrew, means to go astray with no direction. She didn't receive this promise at this point from the Lord. And so I'm sure she now goes astray with no direction, with a heavy heart. Goes away with a heart full of worry. You know, think about those times before the wonderful GPS, where we might be lost and we would have hearts full of worry. We had heavy hearts about being lost, and especially men, we had to deal with our wives telling us to stop and ask for directions. Well, praise the Lord for that GPS, that now we no longer have to stop and ask for directions. We have direction where we're going. But here we see that they wandered. They went astray with no direction, and they wandered into Beersheba. Another interesting thing here is to see what Abraham had provided them with. You know, provided them with some bread and maybe a skin of water. Well, we knew that Abraham was capable of had the resources of providing much more than that. So why so little? Well, ultimately, I think what we see here is he's trusting the Lord. You know, where was, you know, the donkey? Where was the cart full of food? Well, what we see here is Abraham is realizing, or he knew that no matter what he gave them, nothing was going to be enough without God working in their lives. And so what Abraham did is he put them in the capable hands of God. And what he was doing is he was showing that he had complete faith that God was going to take care of them and that God was going to fulfill his promise. Now, this assurance that Abraham had, that he had received from the Lord, this had not trickled down to this loving mother yet. And so she wandered to Beersheba, which was the southern border in Palestine, where they lost their way and they ended up in the desert. And I know many mothers over the years and over the generations have shed many tears for their children. And I think we'll see here with this Egyptian woman, she was no different. As we get into our second point here, a mother's persistence. A mother's persistence. Looking in verses 15 through 18. "And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat up over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." We see Hagar's persistence as she is caused to cry out. When's the last time, mother, you've cried out to the Lord? I know that in our flesh, as we just talked about, we might be prompted to to be filled with anger or frustration over maybe situations with our child or maybe situations with our family. Maybe it's this crisis that we're going through. And our first response is anger or frustration. But what we must do is humbly seek the Lord's face and cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. So what we see here is another interesting point here. Hagar had been wronged. She had been wronged by Sarah. Maybe she was once a friend, maybe a confidant, and yet she was wronged by Sarah. She was wronged by Abraham, who was the man of God. Now, yes, he was responding to the Lord and doing what the Lord had told him to do, but she didn't know this. So she's wronged by Sarah. She's wronged by Abraham, and yet she still cries out to the Lord. She says, "Let me not see the death of this child." She did not want to see her son die. But the question comes to this, comes to me in this. Who's she talking to? She's in the desert. She is a bow shot away from her son, maybe 20 yards away from her son. As she cries out, who is she crying out to? Well, I think even though that she is an Egyptian, I think she's crying out to God. I think she knew who Abraham's God was by the time that she spent and the family spent time as a handmaid. I believe she knew who Abraham's God was. But we also, if you remember back in chapter 16 of Genesis, she had a previous encounter with the Lord. If you want to jump back with me to Genesis chapter 16, starting in verse 4. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she had saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, "My wrong upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." And Abraham said unto Sarah, "Behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And Sarah dwelt hardly with her, and she fled her face. Verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands." You know, we see that in her despair, in her destitution, in her desperation, she is crying out to the God of Abraham. Now remember, she had been wronged, and she did not turn from God. She did not turn away from Him. And we have to remember that in our lives as believers, that even though another believer may do something to us, we can't turn away from God. We have to embrace the truth that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so we have to continue to keep our eyes on the Lord. Mothers, think about this. Who's been watching you? Who's been watching your lives? Who's been watching your testimony? Who's been watching your faith? Because I've seen some of the most wonderful testimonies about mothers, and that they were a woman of great faith. So we have to remember who's watching us. But then also, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Remember this, in times are bleak, and when times are of great despair, that there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing impossible with God. He can save that child that's having physical problems. He can help that child that is having maybe thirst problems spiritually. He's dying of thirst spiritually. He can also restore those relationships. Even if it seems like they're dead, he can bring them back from the dead. We can't hesitate in crying out to the Lord. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, we have to cry out to the Lord. And when all seems lost, and she thought her son was going to die, she cried out for help, and she received it from the Lord. Not only did the Lord give her help, but He also gave her a promise that Ishmael would become a ruler of a great nation. And we know from the Word of God that the Ishmaelites would be nomads in the wilderness, and Sinai and Paran, the southern portion of Israel. and that Ishmael would be the father of a great nation. Third, we see a mother's understanding. As I finish up here, a mother's understanding. Back in our text in Genesis 21, verses 19 through 21. It says, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Hagar's understanding was now enlightened. She learned that God was a God of provision. Look at verse 19 again. It says, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." He provided her water. God is the God of provision. He does long to provide in our lives and to give us what we need. And maybe we need to stop and just say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Stop looking so far into the head, but then trusting Him daily for our provisions, because God is a God of provision. We also see that He's a God, she sees that He's a God of protection. Verse 20 says, "And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." You know, God protected Ishmael to the point where he grew into a man and he became an archer. You know, God is the God of protection. You know, "No weapon formed against thee shall prosper." God is the God of protection, and He does long to protect our lives as believers. And she now came to this enlightenment, this understanding that God was a God of protection. She also saw that God was a God of fulfilled promises. He fulfilled the promise that He made Hagar in chapter 16. He fulfilled the promise that we just read in verse 18. And in verse 21, it says that he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You know, Ishmael's descendants would be the Arabic people. So looking through this wonderful mother here, we see that Hagar displayed a mother's love. Now, as I close today, you know, mothers, are we displaying a mother's love when it comes to our words, our encouragement, our testimonies, your faith? You know, mothers, are you showing that to your children and grandchildren? But the challenge is bigger than just mothers. It's man or woman. It's grandfather or grandmother, aunt or uncle. What are we showing? We have to believe and trust in the fact that with God, nothing's impossible. We must not put limits on God. And too often, we want to put God in this little box. We can't put limits on God. And in those times of need, we need to cry out to Him. We have to cry out to the Lord. Today, where's our faith? Mother, father, grandfather, where's our faith? What are we showing? What legacy are we passing down to our children and grandchildren? Are we showing them a life of faith? Is that the legacy that we are passing down? Are we trusting in the Lord for our health and all these situations we're going through now? Maybe it's, are we trusting the Lord in reconciliation or our restoration of our families? The question I want to close with this morning is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that is no. We need to trust Him today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for our time here today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the life of Hagar. I thank You for the life of Sarah. And some of the decisions that she made and some of the poor choices we can learn from. We can learn from what decisions are made or can be made with a lack of faith or that can be made if we do not seek the Lord in prayer for our decisions. Seek the Word of God. Make sure that decision is in line with the Word of God, that we're listening to the voice of truth about decisions we make. Godly people in our lives. We're listening to godly people and godly advice. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll challenge us, Lord, to not put limits on You and to trust, whether mother, whether father, whatever it may be, that there's nothing impossible for You. We need to trust Him and trust You, Lord, in everything that we do. Every aspect of our lives, we need to be trusting You and trust the fact that with You, all things are possible. So, Lord, I pray that You'll have Your hand upon us as we continue to celebrate mothers today. I pray that we would continue to glorify you in everything that we say and do, but that today is Mother's Day and that we would celebrate our mothers. And I pray that that would be our goal today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. Happy Mother's Day. And mothers, I hope you get spoiled something rotten today. And I pray that it's a great day. And please continue to pray for us as we continue to try to minister to you in the many different ways that we're able to. And I pray that you are blessed. Have a great Mother's Day. See you soon. God bless.